always good to bless his name for his love and his kindness, and for all that we have to bless his name. Welcome to the house of the Lord. We greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And let's just open Galatians chapter 4:22-28 for our 30-minute Sunday school for those who are here for the first time. So we're going to have our Sunday school lesson before the main service. Let's pray first. Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for another wonderful opportunity, Father Lord, to gather again under the wings of you, the mother eagle, to be fed from your mouth, O Lord. We have brought our whole being, our souls, our bodies, our heart, our spirits, O Lord, under your deity, O Lord, believing, Heavenly Father, that as we come, we want to be better Christians, O Lord. We want to be better human beings. We want to be better citizens, O Lord. And the only place we can be made better is under your wings, O Lord. That's why your children have come this morning, not to see a man, not to be seen, O Lord, or not to show off anything, because we are nothing and we deserve nothing, O Lord. But it's only under your wings, it's only under your righteousness that we are made something, O Lord. That's why we commit ourselves into it, and we surrender all that we are, O Lord, our thoughts, our projects, our worries, everything. As we are gathered under your name, we believe that you are taking off our burdens, and you are giving us your joy, you are giving us your peace, you are giving us your glory, O Lord, that we are going to share your glory with you under your name. So we thank you. Take now control in Jesus' name. Amen. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, that thou that travelest not. For the desolate has many more children than she which has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Amen. You may be seated. I bless you. So we are going back to our slides from where we stopped last week, to just try to build a bit more. The recap last week was very important because it's a solid foundation on what will come next. And we need always keep that in mind as we go. Always have that foundation, that everything you are going to say is based on that foundation. All those prerequisites that we need to understand the promise of our day. So we are still talking about the seed of Abraham, which lives by the promise of God, which is the fulfillment of God's promise in every week. In every age, they see the promise, they recognize it, and they act according to the promise. Amen. So, it's working? Okay, sorry, I was looking good. Okay, Okay, so we saw that based on what we have said last week, what is the expectation of us as the bride, of you as a Christian? What is your expectation? What are we, you know, what are we coming here for? What are we living our life for? You know, the expectation of the bride, as we know, as the prophet puts it, is the second coming of the Lord. That's the next thing in life. Amen. It's the coming of the Lord and the translation of the bride, of the church. So that's what everything that you do. If you are not working towards that, then you don't know what you are coming to church. You don't know what you are living your Christian life. Because the expectation of every believer, you know, every since the church started, the expectation was the second coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is our expectation. And we are working towards that expectation. But the thing is, the prophet says that there's going to be a time where people will start asking, was not there supposed to be a rapture? Amen. Was not there supposed to be a coming of the Lord? Because there's going to be a time where people will notice that things are happening that were supposed to happen after the coming of the Lord. They're going to then start asking, was there not supposed to be the coming of the Lord? Like the disciples, they were asking Jesus, when they saw Jesus in the ministry and doing what the Messiah was supposed to do, they started asking him, was not there supposed to be Elijah first? Amen. And Jesus told them, Elijah had come already, but you didn't know it. Amen. There was a time where the promise of the coming of Elijah in the first coming was fulfilled, but the people were still waiting for Elijah to come. There was a time where the Messiah who was supposed to come was come, and the people were still waiting for the Messiah to come. And the same thing is happening today, will happen today. The prophet says, people will wonder, was there not supposed to be a rapture? He says, are you ready? I want to shock you a little bit. The rapture will be the same way. Before he was talking about the coming of Elijah in the first coming. It will be so simple. Know that it will be likewise. Till the rapture will come one of these days, and nobody will know nothing about it. Quite a shocking sentence. The great rapture will happen, but no one will know nothing about it. See? The rapture will come in such a simple way till the judgment will fall and they'll see the Son of Man and they say, wasn't we supposed to have such and such thing? Wasn't there supposed to be Elijah to come first? And wasn't there supposed to be a rapture? It's very serious. Jesus will say, it will already happen, and you didn't know it. The people he's talking about here are the people that were expecting a rapture. Because the people that will ask these questions are the people that are expecting a rapture to come. And they'll be surprised to see just things starting happening and say, why? Why is it not? No. It has happened, and you didn't know it. So it means that the rapture is not the, you know, in its fulfillment, it's a great event, but it won't fulfill in a way that people are expecting it to happen. It's going to be so simple. Amen. Why that? Why people will ask those questions? It's because they didn't prepare, they didn't expect it to happen the way it is written. They were expecting it according to their own understanding. Amen. The prophet says, it comes like a thief. That's what the Bible says. Why people won't understand? Why people will be surprised? Because the rapture, the coming of the rapture, is like a thief in the night. Amen. Because we read these things in the Bible, but people are still building great expectations where planes will crash and there are going to be accidents all over, fire everywhere. But Jesus says, he's going to come like a thief in the night. A thief, when he comes, the next thing you notice only is next morning, something is missing in the house. That's what the thief in the house, the night is.
You are sleeping, deep asleep. And then the thief comes, break in, take whatever they want to take and go. You'll just wake up and notice, oh, something is missing. And the rapture will be like that. It's going to be like a thief in the night. You'll come and pick one here, pick one there, and the world will continue as if nothing had happened. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So, he comes like a thief in the night. The prophet says, there'll be a rapture. You think two or three people here and one over here and somewhere else, somebody come up missing. They thought they ran away from home. You see what it's going to be? People just think, ah, that girl, she's just naughty. She's just missing. She went somewhere. They are church. Sometimes they go to check and let's expect they come back. They've gone to a convention somewhere, you know. And they better be careful. They might be gone. Looking for a rapture, and it's already passed. Now, that isn't contrary to the word. He come like a thief in the night. They will be gone before you know it. Amen? Why that? Because most of the time people, they don't understand. When we are talking about the coming of the Lord, we mix everything together. The prophet, the Bible teaches, and the prophet tells us that there's three comings of the Lord. And you have to understand those three comings for you to get the right thing. Because if you know which coming is which, you'll be expecting, waiting for something that is not what you are supposed to wait for. The prophet speaks about three comings of the Lord. So the first coming, he came as a mortal to bleed and die. Every one of us, we know that coming. That's what we believe. That's what our faith is built upon. Amen? That's his first coming. The second coming is the rapture. Are you with me? The second coming is the rapture. We meet him in the skies, immortal. Amen? His third coming, he is the incarnate God, Emmanuel, to reign on earth. That's the millennium. Amen? So there's three comings. The first coming, he died on the cross. The second coming, which is the rapture. The third coming, for the millennium. We resume it there. But it's clear, right? That's clear for us, yeah? The first coming was to die on the cross to redeem. The second coming will be the rapture. Clear enough. But you need to put things now in their right context. Because confusion most of the time lies in the details. We know that the first coming, he came to die on the cross. The main purpose of the first coming was for him to die at the cross. But did he come the very first day he came, straight away he died on the cross? No. Because there was a build-up. Amen? The main purpose was for him to die at the cross, but he couldn't just go from maternity or come down from heaven as a great mighty someone and go straight to the cross and die, and that is the first coming of the Lord. Though the main purpose was to die at the cross, but there had to be a build-up to the climax of the first coming. Are you with me? What was it? Because the man that had to die at the cross had to meet a certain requirement. Amen. Because crucifixion was not something unusual in Israel that time. The Romans were crucifying people almost every day. Amen. But what would make this crucifixion different from other crucifixions? Amen. The requirement had to be met for this crucifixion to be a particular, a different crucifixion from other crucifixions. Amen? Because sometimes people think Jesus was the only person who was crucified. No. Crucifixion was a capital punishment by the Roman system. Anyone, you are, especially when you rebel against the, the, the establishment, they're going to crucify you. But this crucifixion had to be different. What would make it something that stand out? Which means the person that had to be crucified had to meet certain requirements. That's why he had to meet, because he came as a redeemer. His death at the cross had to be the death of a redeemer. And as a redeemer, he had to prove that he is the redeemer. That's why he had to be born like us. You know the laws of redemption. The laws of redemption says, the kinsman redeemer must be of the same blood than the person that you are trying to redeem. Amen. So that's why he had to prove that he's from our family. He had to be born of a woman like us. Otherwise, he could die at the cross, and the devil could still question the person who is dying at the cross. His death at the cross must have been, a cutting off point, saying that this is the person. I have paid the price. So he had to come like us, born of a woman. And when he was going to be crucified, everyone had to testify that he is, he has lived like every human being, but didn't commit any sin. Amen. That's why Paul says in Hebrew that, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. For that to be fulfilled, he had to live a life. Amen. You can't take someone that comes straight from heaven and go to the cross and say he's with no sin. No, he has never been tempted. He had to be born. He has to be a child. He had to be an adolescent. He had to be a teenager. He has to pass all these steps, and temptation should come his way. He had to be tempted by women, be tempted by popularity, tempted by money, tempted by everything, and he was an overcomer. He had to prove all that. So though the first coming was, the purpose of the first coming was to die at the cross, but it had to be a succession of events that would lead to the death at the cross. Amen. That's what made the first coming. The purpose was to die at the cross, but he has to be worthy to die. He has to prove that he is the sacrificial lamb, the kinsman redeemer, and he meets all the requirements. That's why the first coming has to be a season. That's why the first coming has to be a time frame in which all those promises will be fulfilled, so that when he goes to die at the cross, the devil will have nothing to say, because he has met all the requirements and he was dying as a kinsman's redeemer. Amen. You keep that in mind. Now, the second coming, the prophet says he's coming to rapture the bride. But like in the first coming, the final aim, the climax, the main purpose of the second coming is the rapture. But there must be a build-up to the rapture. Amen? That's where the confusion is. Because the people think that when he's coming for the second time, it means from the time the heaven opens, he comes down, pick you and go. No, it's a build-up. It's a process. Amen? We're going to see. That's why I advise you this week, go and read or listen to that sermon, Rapture. You'll see how the prophet builds it up. Most of the time when we read that sermon, we focus only on that last part when he's talking about the sound, the trumpet, and the voice. But read the whole sermon, you'll see that it's a build-up. is trying to show you the process of the rapture. Because the bride must be rapture ready. Amen. Amen. The bride must be prepared to the rapture. Like the cross had to be prepared from the, you know, from birth to crucifixion, the bride must also be prepared to be rapture ready. Amen. So that's why the second coming is coming. He says it's a secret coming. Why? As we're going to see it, it's going to be a build up. It's going to be something that's going to need his wife to make ready to meet him. It's going to take a certain time. Amen. So the second coming is not a 24 hours event. That this is it, bam, yes, come, and this is it, we go. The second coming, go and read that sermon, the rapture. You'll see that it is a process through which the Lord is doing certain things that we're going to see in the coming lessons. Now, the prophet said, and so he came, first to redeem his bride. He comes second as the rapture. Are you with me? To take away his bride. He comes third with his bride, king and queen. Don't forget there's another coming, the third coming. Okay? There's the rapture, and after that there's another coming. That's when many people are expecting the coming. You see where the confusion comes. When people, because the prophet said, people will start asking, is he not supposed to come? Was there not supposed to be a rapture? People are, in their mind, in people's mind, this is the coming that they are expecting. To see him to come as queen and king. That spectacular coming. But the second coming is a secret coming. Amen. The second coming is not a spectacular, it's a secret coming. He said the third coming is when he comes with his bride as king and queen. That's when many people are expecting the coming. By saying that, he said they might miss the real coming they were supposed to wait. But when he comes this time, hardly none but those who are ready will know when he comes. This is the second coming. Hardly, only few people will know when he's coming. And those, the majority will be waiting for that third coming while the second coming is happening. Amen. There'll just be an absence of people. They won't know what happened to them. They'll just be caught away and so on. Amen. So we just need to be careful. That in the Christian world today, there's this confusion between the second and the third coming. People are looking at the second coming, but they are waiting for the second coming, but they are looking at the third coming. Because they don't know how to differentiate it. What they are looking at is the third coming, but they don't know that there's going to be a secret coming that he comes to take the bride. The bride is taken in a secrecy. Amen. Amen. Which coming are we talking about here? We are going to stop here because we don't want to give too much. We don't want to confuse people by God's grace. He's coming. He's coming in clouds. Clouds of glory. As when he was seen up on the Mount of Transfiguration and his garments were shining as the power of God upon them. And every eye shall see him. That's the coming that people are waiting. And every eye shall see him. It will happen. But he said, that means this is not the rapture. Are you with me? Amen. The coming where every eye will see him is not the rapture. The rapture is a secret coming. This coming when he's coming with the cloud and every eye shall see him, he says, this is not the rapture. This is when he comes to take over his rightful place as world ruler. That's the third coming. Can you make the difference now? Amen. So we need to understand that. As we said in the beginning, you need to keep that in mind as we go. Because take the background on which we spoke last week, and you know, the recap we did last week, that your representation, your traditions, your, you know, the way you have been taught the Bible may hinder you from seeing the right thing when it's being fulfilled. Why? Because you are looking at the wrong thing. You are not looking at it at the, in the correct way, from a correct perspective. But we needed to understand that the dimensions are very important, because many of these things will involve the understanding of dimensions. Amen. Because when they say he comes, and you know that the dead will rise, the tombs will open. You need to understand these things in concordance with dimensions. Because when the tombs, we'll see it, I don't want to anticipate. Amen. We'll see it next time. But you need to know, because people are waiting, the tombs will open, the graves, do you think this graveyard that is close here, Glasnevin, do you think Glasnevin will burst and all the graves and people will come out and if that thing happened, I don't think you're going to stand there. You'll be running away. You'll be running away and say, oh, this is, you know. But how did it happen then? We'll see the resurrection of the saints when Jesus, you know, gave the shout. Because next time you're going to see the trump, the shout, and the voice. When the shout comes out, it brings out the dead. But how did they come in the first resurrection? Because you are expecting the dead to come out of the tombs, but, okay, we keep it there. We keep it for next time. Yeah? That's it for today. So just keep it in mind. Please, if you have an opportunity, read that sermon, The Rapture, listen to it, and next time when we come, we'll have a solid foundation from which to build. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful moment. Thank you for your children, for their attention, for their amens, for the respect they give to the word of God. We commit the listening and the understanding into your hand. You are the one who spoke, and you are the one who can make it clear in their mind. You are the one who can make us to take the correct action, Lord. Because knowing is good, but not taking action, not using the knowledge, will not lead us to something helpful, O Lord. That's why we commit us, ourselves, into your hand, O Lord. Help us to prepare, not only to be listeners, not only to have, you know, our mind full of knowledge, O Lord, but what that does knowledge do in our lives, O Lord. Help us to be awakened by the things that's happening around us, O Lord. Help us to be awakened by the revelation of the word and take the necessary steps to be ready to meet you. Take control now of the rest of the service in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.